Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Hi guys, Stephen Tries here. The following podcast was recorded on the 27th of May, 2020. We held it back for a few weeks until we felt the time was appropriate. I hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Stephen Tries podcast. Today we're talking about crime and I'm joined by Tom Cooney.
Good afternoon.
David Rees.
Ahoy.
Max Smith.
Hello there.
And our producer, Joe McGrath, who we can't talk about today because his cases are still ongoing. So let's cut to the chase. First of all, I don't know if you can see it on camera. I might have some blue stains down my chin. Not because Papa Smurf dumped a load on me. but because...
Again. Third time this week.
I got this new mouthwash, which was supposed to be great.
Yeah.
But it just, there's no minty taste to it. It does nothing for me. And it's just this blue liquid stained all over the sink.
What is it?
Colgate. Sorry to take Dave Raves off you, Dave.
Oh, don't worry. I don't like the ones that are too strong. You know, the ones that actually burn your mouth.
Oh, you can't last 30 seconds. Like,
alcohol ones. Yeah.
Mate, grim. No need. No need for it.
Yeah. It can't be good for you.
Nah, not at all.
Bleeding gums.
Bleeding gums, yeah. So this week we're talking about crime. The biggest criminal of all at the moment is Dominic Cummings. God, what a bad man.
This must have infuriated you, Max, because you've followed the instructions to the T.
You know what? I see myself as what they called workers, like a
key worker. That's me, baby. You know, people need their lovely comedy from the Stephen Tries channel, and that's what I'm all about. And then Dominic Cummings comes in. He's not doing comedy.
It isn't funny.
Exactly. I doubt he was going to his parents' house to do a podcast. Or to make some sweet sketches. Hey, fuming. Yeah, outrageous.
Well said,
I still
mate.
Don't know what he really did.
He's a sketchy guy, though, isn't he?
Yeah. Hey, there we go.
Hey, nice.
Fucking Ian Hislop over here.
Yeah.
what did he actually do then? So I heard he drove to London to County Durham. But apart from
He left his home in London because his wife was ill. Possibly showing signs of COVID, but possibly not. But either way, she wasn't well. They had a four-year-old son, and so they drove 200 odd miles to Durham to stay in a cottage on his parents' land. I think, is that right? In case she got worse, he got ill, and they needed help with the child.
So, yeah.
And then whilst there, on his wife's birthday, incidentally, they drove.
To Burt
20 odd miles to
castle.
Yeah.
What's your birthday that was?
By a river.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, mate. I'd rather just stay in and get pissed. Not a fucking castle. That's awful. But then he came back to London and went back to Durham, apparently. But what the journalist did was they found that he's gone to Durham and released this story saying, oh, he's gone to Durham. Then all the Conservative MPs came out going, well, he's just caring for his child, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Fair play. But what they didn't know was the journalists had this story about him going again, and then they dropped that the next day, and then all the MPs were like, oh.
But it's one rule for the elite, isn't it?
It certainly is, mate, and that's the problem.
you know.
Because as I was saying to you in the park the other day when we were having a few cans, I said he's out of order, mate.
Exactly.
Ron, you wouldn't catch me dead doing that. Scumbag, mate.
Have you seen them photographers, though? Whatever, the paparazzi guy to his house? And having a guy
they don't really have a leg to stand on. There's a woman shouting, going, I've not been able to see my dying mother for 3 weeks, but you're hounding a fucking politician surrounded by 20 people.
People do anything for clout these days. Showing at Cummings is trendy.
It's the new thing.
That's it.
If any of you had to break lockdown to visit somewhere, where would you go? Not family, because that's boring. Just like a place.
Probably Dominic Cummings' parents. You know, apparently it's a great
trip.
It's
worth the risk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Something must be going on down in that house.
If Cum Dog Millionaire goes there, why?
Apparently, a lot of people have been using it as an excuse now when they stop by the police. Just been name dropping him, and if he can do
what
it,
what are you going to do?
It's kind of the end of lockdown now, really, isn't it? It's gonna.
He's ruined it.
It's been undermined.
The park near where I live, it's just full of people now having picnics and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't really know what's going on with the lockdown. Like. It's packed, like it's insane. Like 2 days, you know, a few days ago it was empty. But I don't know what the rules are now.
Why don't you enforce whatever rules you think need to be enforced, mate?
Well, I've been going out with my, you know, with my wooden spoon and tin, my frying pan.
And nothing else.
Sorry, Max.
Nothing else.
If I recall correctly, every week when you're on camera, you've had at least one guest, you know, in your room.
The revolving fucking door.
You have the audacity to criticise the general public. You're worse than Cummings, mate.
That's so true.
So obviously, you know, crime's big in the world, not just with politicians, but
rampant
with everyone. I'm going to go to Dave for no apparent reason. Dave, have you ever been in trouble with the police? Ever, you know, committed a crime on a small scale, big scale?
I remember once where there was this kid that got into a fight in our area, and we was walking, and I was walking with a kid that got into a fight, and the police pulled up and said, we're looking for this lad. Do you know him? And I was with the lad, and I was like, oh, God. Oh, God, this isn't good. And then, yeah, basically shit myself. I didn't snitch him up, though. I was like, I was going to, but I felt too scared.
Fair play.
But
it's a loyal friend.
In the face of the police,
you were more scared about being a grass.
Yeah, no, I was like, my mum would kill me if I grassed someone up. I was like, can't do it. But apart from that, there's a few other times. But yeah, apart from that, it's all right. Left at it.
Have you ever done something and gotten away with it?
I tried bunking off school once, not by the police, but by my mum. And there was about 50 of us all bunking from school. And 50? I was the only one that got caught, not by the police, but by my mum, who is a policeman.
So the swans got away with it, but you.
Yeah,
you got
I didn't. Yeah. All the sheep. It wouldn't help when I was riding on their back, going yee haw. Riding off, yeah.
Did you bunk off from school a lot, Dave?
No, my mum watches these, so. Yes. No, I didn't.
Have you ever stolen or robbed?
I think I did once, just to feel the thrill. So, you know, it's like, I'm going to do it. And then as soon as you did it, I was like panicking. I was like, the police are going to find out. They've got cameras in there. Oh, it was only a Snickers. Like, it wasn't even worth it. But the panic, the sweat. I was like, I'm not up to this sort of game. Not up to this sort of game.
Well, we've got an expert with us here, Tom Cooney.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I just say I used to take a few chocolate bars here and there from the co-op on the way home from school. I don't know. The other kids were doing it. It was, and I had a
peer pressure.
I had a dab hand for it. Yeah.
See, I've never stolen. I was always too scared.
I wouldn't steal from. I don't really steal anymore. What I mean, I was only a kid, but I would still, as a kid, I wouldn't steal like from someone else. I wouldn't steal from like a friend or even another person. you know, I guess you can kind of
just like a corporation
a little bit more when it's from a corporation. But yeah, don't steal kids.
I witnessed. Yeah. No, don't steal kids.
That's a big no-no.
Speaking of which, Max, have you stopped with that?
Only in emergencies.
Yeah, those days are behind me. I used to...
You were watching Tracy Beaker just scouting them. Right. You'll do.
Off to the dumping ground after this. yeah, same with Tom. Like, a few chocolate bars here and there.
Oh, you two did it together?
Yeah.
Wow.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one-size-fits-all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
That's how we met.
Notorious.
We both went to steal the... I had a friend that would like shoplift like every day he would shoplift, and he had this system where he'd go into a Woolworths.
Closed down now, aren't they?
Yeah, he probably because of this guy. He would go into Woolworths and fill his lunchbox.
Business model.
He would fill his lunchbox up with like chocolates and stuff. Then as he's walking towards the security scanners by the doors, he would just sort of throw his lunchbox around them, and then just the scanners wouldn't go off, and he'd pick it up and just trot off. And then he would sell them all at school. You know, it was quite a nifty little system. Obviously, Woolworths had shut down, and thousands of people lost their jobs. But he made about 10 quid.
Including this poor lad.
I had a friend that used to go nick things, and we used to be like, oh, no, don't do it. But if you're going to do it, get us a Snickers.
You love your Snickers.
I do.
I didn't, but he obviously did. But I was with him when he got caught, so I got sort of put in the back of a police car. Yeah, sent to school. I was probably like 13 at the time. They took me to school, and the head teacher got involved.
This was on the way to school, or should you have been in school?
No, on the way to school. Right. But obviously, they saw our uniform, and they were like, right, we obviously know where you're from. It wasn't like this big disguise. I was in the head teacher's office for the whole day. That was fun.
Bad boy.
But they didn't get me. They had nothing on me. So.
Did you ever get caught?
No, I didn't. One of the lads that I was with, though, because we used to walk home from school every night, and he...
Before you went back to fame.
Yeah, and he also would try his luck on occasions. And then he there was like these big Galaxy bars that were on their own little stand, which he kind of identified as being the grand prize, if you like. And so on the night he tried to steal the grand prize, he got caught. And they took him in the back, and he just cried and said all the other kids had peer pressured him into doing it. Yeah. While we were all waiting outside.
Was it a good defence? Did he get away with it?
I think because he cried, I think they must have thought that, well, we're giving him a scare, which tends to be what what they do with kids, you know, because it's a waste of people's time. They can't be bothered, but you know, at least if you look like you've had a scare.
Whilst we're all confessing... in my late teens, I used to go to Morrison's at the salad bar.
Oh, yeah.
Fill up a medium-sized salad box. And
what with?
Just DVDs. and then scan it as a small...
and ranch dressing.
Just croutons on the top. They'll never know. They won't see bridesmaids at the bottom here. And then, just scan it as a small and be on my way. One time I did get caught in Sainsbury's. I was scanning a conference pair, but I was holding the top, shaving about 20p off. Came over and went, you've got to let go of that.
I've been caught doing that with bananas. They really thwarted me when they made you type in the number of bananas that you get. Some are bigger than others. It's robbery.
Yeah.
Did you ever, self scanner? Did you ever like pay, but like, scan it, but not actually scan it, if that makes sense?
Oh, I just
put it straight in the bag.
With birthday cards, two stuck together. Mm. I'd obviously just paid for one. I got home and realised, oh God. In the 20s, my mum went, it's fine, I'll go to Morrison's tomorrow. So she went back and snuck the card back.
Wow. Right.
She didn't have to sneak it back. She's, you know, right, giving them their stock. Oh. But I barely slept that night.
There's a SWAT team smashing through the windows. He's got a birthday card. Take him down.
Get him.
Have you ever been questioned by the police or, you know, spoken to, arrested? One New Year's Eve, I was with the boys and we were feeling a bit wacky.
Yeah.
So we clocked a tin of Quality Street and before I could tuck into it, we just grabbed a load and went out on the street and I was just throwing them at each other. We saw the police come around the corner, so we all just ran into the driveway and then the police came over and went, "What are you up to?" And we explained we were just messing about.
Yeah.
And then
police officer.
Yeah, yeah. And they went, why is there a green triangle line in the road? And we had to say, we just dropped them. I think to throw them off the scent. Lo and behold, you know, 2 days later, I was in a park. And
you pick up a newspaper.
I was playing with my cousins, playing football, and the police come over to us and go, "Oh, we've heard there's like something's gone on in the park. We're looking for like young lads. Is it? Do you know anything about what's going on?" And they were trying to pin something on us, but you know, I grabbed them by the throat and just said, "Fuck off." And they scarpered. Or we went, "We've not done anything, we're going to go home to our nans now." It was one of the two. But you know, that was a really scary start.
They couldn't get you for
year.
The Quality Street incident, so they were determined to pin you for something.
They got like surveillance vans just watching.
I had a melted toffee penny in my back pocket.
One way or another, we're getting this menace off the streets.
Buried it in the woods. I've not really spoken to the... Oh, of course, me, Tom and Max, we were filming a sketch once. Max was jumping off a bridge. It was small. It was like 2 metres. And the police came by and said, "What's going on here?" And I said, "I'll just tune into Stephen Tries in a week." they said, "Who?" And that's when I got them by the throat. I said, "You'll be fucking drinking that water soon, lads."
Listen here.
But yeah, they didn't want Max to jump in.
No.
But
no, they did. They were there to see that it happened.
Yeah.
They were laughing in the car.
You know, what comes above the law? Comedy.
What did happen with that? Did Max kind of appear to climb down and we said we wouldn't do it?
They waddled off. Max climbed over the barrier.
Yeah. Thought he'd got away with it for a second.
Well, you didn't see what's
called history. It said 999. Yeah. guys, are you sure you're going to go?
I don't know.
I'll pay your wages.
He planted a box of heroes in my bag.
Get him.
Excuse me. Then recently, it was my girlfriend's birthday, so we're having a little party in the flat, just people that lived here.
Yeah.
Just the 60 of us that live here. Friends. Yeah.
Neighbours.
Yeah.
Dominic Cummings.
We'd go out, went out just to a local park.
For a walk. We hadn't been out that day, so you know.
Yeah.
In some ways, it was our exercise.
So we were sat there on the benches, and a police van pulls up, and I think we'd been dancing to the song Saturday Night, not that loud. And the police van pulls up, and two pairs of police officers come out. One goes round the first entrance. The others jump over the wall. Yeah. Like
proper
hot fuss.
Proper SWAT team. Like.
Just come right up to us. Not obeying the 2 meter rule in the slightest. And they're like, "We've had a call, there's 8 to 10 people here having a party in the park." So you know, I made a little quip about my thighs making me look like two people. They then noticed my thighs and went, "Shit." So I grabbed them by the throat and said, "On your way." And just threw them back over the wall. I come from a family of crime because my dad, just a couple of years ago, was on his lunch break and threw an apple core into a bush and got fined 80 quid for that.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So he should. Ridiculous.
But my favourite one is my mum, she was driving and she'd broken up with her ex-partner. She was driving past his house in a Mini Cooper on a hot day. She wanted to, you know, just look cool as she went past. Got a little bit quickly. Police pulled her over for speeding right outside his house. Oh. And she got a fine and points for that.
No.
But, you know, it's the price you pay for looking cool. Max.
Hello.
Ever had the police speak to you?
Apart from that incident, not really. I think I've had some, you know, police come to the school and say some things like "don't do drugs," stuff like that. But
well, that general breaking of the law. Did you ever get up to no good as a kid?
Sure. Yeah, bunking from school was probably the big one. I think everyone's done that, though.
I never bunked. No.
Really?
Did you know?
No. I like school.
Do you know what? I think the issue is with bunking from school is like, it's a good idea, but when you do it, there's fuck all to do.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly, yeah.
Then you just sort of wander in the streets like, right.
What should we do now?
Yeah. We can't go in any shops because they know that we're meant to be in school. So they'll tell us to go back.
Question that.
Exactly, yeah. So
yeah, school was more interesting. Like, you know, you can still have fun in school.
It was all right.
Whilst we're here, should we get on to Stephen Lies?
Sure, yes.
Might lead us on to some of our wacky stories we're holding back on, fingers crossed. Shall I go first?
Our things that definitely happened. Yeah, go on.
Detective Dave.
Yeah, I'm on it.
How did it go last week? Were you thrown?
I think I was. Yeah.
First time in a while, though. He's generally pretty spot on these days.
Oh, I am.
No, he's hit and miss, mate. Don't blow smoke up his arse.
Fair enough.
Right, Dave, are you ready?
I'm ready for this. Y'all ready for this?
Mine is, a viral video got me in a lot of trouble.
Okay. Tom?
I had the police called on me when I broke into an allotment.
Okay. Max?
Calm down, make them believable.
Looney Cooney showing his face. When I was 15, I had a fight whilst high on cocaine.
15.
Okay. We'll start with you.
I wrestled a giant tapeworm. Last high.
And naked.
Nope.
Steve, so.
Hello.
Viral video. Which video was it?
Well, it wasn't one of mine. It was a video. It came out about 18 months ago, it first came out. And it was this guy who's in a nightclub and he's walking back over from the bar with two drinks and he's dancing and he slips and falls on his arse. Yeah. It's just a funny video. Oh, no, yeah. He knocked over a girl as he falls. You might have seen it.
It's staged.
No. So because of that, basically I looked a lot like the guy in the video. He had a ginger comb over, tight jeans and a black top. Also, it was in the Northwest. I think it was in Warrington.
Right.
So people saw that video and were tagging me in it saying, oh, this looks like Stephen, which happens quite a lot with any white male with big ears. So people kept tagging me in this and I thought nothing more of it. But what happened was 2 days later, I had a video shoot for joe.co.uk when I was doing this links campaign. And I was ill for it. I had food poisoning. And what they thought was, because I said it, I think about 12 hours before the shoot was supposed to start, I said, guys, I'm not feeling well. And then I fell asleep, missed the start of the shoot, which was in London. They were angry with me anyway, but then saw me getting tagged in this video a lot. So I had to get my agent to sort them out, which was, you know, she wasn't the best. She just explained. She had to write them a letter saying, it's not Stephen. He was, you know, ill from food poisoning. But yeah, the symptoms matched up with being hungover.
I can imagine. Did you lose out on a bit of business there as well then, or did they ever ask?
Fortunately,
you
they moved the shoot day to 2 weeks, but I was actually supposed to film with Deli Ali and Michael Dapper. So I wanted to do it.
Want it to be there. Well, yeah,
50%
yeah.
of me wanted to do it. but then I was ill, so I just couldn't turn up. But then, yeah, when they saw that on Twitter, they were convinced I'd just gone out and got pissed, yeah. Which I wouldn't do. Dear. I'm a professional.
okay.
But yeah, they tried to find me the day's fee, which is big links money.
I bet. Well, that is pretty crappy.
If true.
Okay, then. If true, that is the... Okay, then. So, Tom, you robbed a locksmith.
No. Where are you getting this from?
What was your one again?
No, the police were called on me when I broke into an allotment.
Oh, an allotment. Oh, I thought you said locksmith.
An allotment, like a garden like patch.
Yeah, where people have little patches
growing stuff. Like, yeah. Fruit and veg. Oh, I know the place. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. What was you stealing? What did you steal?
We didn't really have a plan. it was a slow day then. So we broke onto the local allotments. We the like barbed wire fence where it's got like wooden sticks through it. Stretched one of them apart.
Fucking Ocean's 11 here.
Yeah, got into snuck through the bush and got into the allotment. I just had a bit of a walk around, really, but it backed onto some houses. And so some people, concerned residents, called the police. And when we exited the allotment through the hole in the fence, the police pulled up and we had some onions. yeah, I think we just got a talking to. I think there's probably more expensive stuff on the allotment. I guess people have sheds and some of the allotments are bigger than others, and we're in a bit of a posh area.
So
I can imagine why they would have called the police, but when they saw it was just a couple of kids with some onions, they just gave us a talk.
Did you have to put the onions back? Or?
We did put the onions back, yeah.
That's good.
What, back in the person's allotment, or did you give it to the police, weren't they?
We just gave it to the police.
Confiscated for evidence, yeah.
I kept one, mate.
Okay, well, did you eat it?
Pocketed one.
Things taste nicer when they're stolen or free, not necessarily stolen.
Free, I think, yeah.
Yeah, free, I guess. Yeah, maybe not stolen. Yeah.
I think they mean the samples you get in Asda.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They taste, yeah. Well,
when you
then, Max.
Hello.
Max, so you got high on cocaine when you were 15.
Yeah. Purely by accident.
Accident.
I'd never do that on purpose.
How does one do that?
There's a really stupid fuck. This is probably the most embarrassing part. There's a really stupid joke we used to do at school. I think people did it when they were much younger, but where you would like crush up like those love heart sweets and then snort them.
Snorting sugar, basically.
Yeah, snorting sugar. Yeah. Like pretend it was cocaine or whatever.
Yeah, too busy.
This was going around school, was it?
Everyone was doing it, mate.
Oh, that's mad. That's mad.
It was a trend that I knew I had to hop on.
Every time you turn the corner.
Exactly. I've got bags of sherbet. I'm at a party. And there's sherbet on the table.
Why?
On the back of snorting a dip tab, they went, "You got to come to the party this week." This guy.
So there's a line of sherbet on the table. So obviously I'm like, yeah, watch this, boys. I snort it. And then whoever owned it was like, that's cocaine. So either I had a massive sugar rush or it was cocaine.
It was actually cocaine.
So for the rest of the party, I was off my head.
So very unbelievable, I must say. So, Max, anything else to add?
I did have a fight, but, you know...
Yeah, I thought we were just going to gloss over that.
Yeah. We can do if you want, you know.
Yeah, well, I forgot about the coke on fight.
You robbed a jeweler's as well.
No, it was... any more... Is that it?
Yeah,
it's your story.
Did you snort a tapeworm?
I'm going to say, that's enough for me. That's enough for me.
Fair enough.
Is that how bad it's got? We're not even asked about him finishing his story.
Is it was there a fight? Did you say?
Sure, whatever. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
So, I'm gonna say it's between Tom and Steve for sensibility. I'm gonna say Steve. Yours is true.
It's a lie.
Oh, bollocks! Bloody game. Tom, no way.
Mine's a lie as well.
Yeah, I had mad parties, man.
Look, even I thought Max's was fair. I knew his was true, and I completely forgot.
That's insane. Matt,
was
I
that
don't
insane? I'm just a big party going,
about
mate.
The fight, then.
But yeah, right, sorry. Yeah, right. How did the dragon get involved?
The dragon?
Yeah, it was insane of a story. What happened?
Oh, it's just, well, literally, I went to a party because it was like, the school year was almost over, and some mad lad had bought cocaine, which I thought was crushed up sherbet, and snorted it. You know, I was drunk at the time. I wasn't, you know, just completely in control of my faculties.
Did you know at that point to, you know, to be careful around drugs and not just, you know, do things on a whim too quickly?
Nope.
just see off on a table of drinks and stuff.
I was too high to learn. And then we had this game called the penny game, which is somebody throws a penny and then the goal is you've got to get the penny back to the person that threw it. But
yeah,
you can just do whatever to get the penny. So like we were just punching each other. I got punched a bit too hard and then, you know, me and this guy had a little scrap. I lost the game, fuming. But yeah, that's what happens.
I can't believe it.
Got the penny
that.
And my wallet.
Yeah. Is that why when you're at the comedy store and the person threw 20p, you were just scrapping to give it back?
Where's the sherbet?
I just punched the MC in the head and said, that's mine. Yeah.
That is craziness.
You've lived a life, Max.
Yeah.
A hell of a life.
And hopefully I've still got more to go. The way I'm going. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's fair impressive, play. Mate. Here we go. Have you ever been the victim of a crime? Yeah, I sure have.
Yeah. What happened?
Shall I kick it off?
Yeah,
go for it. Start it up.
I'm sure I've mentioned it in every other podcast. I got mugged in my first year of uni for $9,000. No,
preach it, brother.
but I was a. Where has it come from? I was coming from Liverpool because I'd just been to watch the match and I'd been home that weekend, so I had all my stuff with me.
Did you win?
Liverpool won, yeah. No, I didn't win. to quote the police, I was a fucking loser. but I was walking back and it was about 7 p.m., 8 p.m., 8 p.m. on a Sunday, and it was quite dark, but I was walking down a main road. And it just so happens that as I'm walking, this guy passes me with a balaclava on and nothing else. Well, no, obviously he's fully clothed. But yeah. All I could see was his eyes. And I walk past him and I go, that's a bit strange. And I keep walking. I had two bags of shopping with me as well. Oh, so no. I was just dreaming up of, you know, what I was going to gorge on first. and then he goes, oh, have you got the time on you, mate? And I grabbed him by the throat and said, time for you to fuck off. I just said no, because I thought, shit, don't want to be speaking to this guy. I just kept walking, and he just caught up with me and had a knife in his hand and went, give me your phone. And for some reason, my phone wasn't in my pocket. It was in a different pocket, and I couldn't find it. I was like, shit. So I just went, do you take cash? just like a restaurant.
Right.
Fucking hell.
So he went no. I was thinking, fuck me, what do I do now? And then he decided he would take cash, which was, you know, good. It was his first job. And and then I had, what did I have? I had 30 quid in my wallet. I also had an iPad in my bag. But I wasn't going to tell him about that. You know, I'd been working hard on Candy Crush. So I just pulled out the first note I could. And thankfully it was a tenner, not the 20. He took that and called me a stupid idiot. And he just fucked off down the road. And then
just been mugged.
Called the police, yeah. And the police came an hour later. Useless.
By which time this guy's probably on a beach in Mexico.
No, this is it. apparently they'd been in the park where there was a party of 8 people, so they were busy with that. Up on the fucking walls.
Walls.
To be fair, though, you know, for a vicious mugging with a knife, £10 is not...
No,
got not away bad with it, at yeah. all. Not bad no. at all.
But it stopped me, you know, walking about at night on yeah, my own in Salford. Not anywhere.
It's a scary bit yeah. of place.
But the good thing is when the police were talking to me, they were like, well, you know, the guy's probably seen you with your nice hair and nice clothes. And I was thinking, look, police officer, you're talking your way into my bedroom.
So I grabbed him by the throat.
You're coming with me.
Can I stress
that? All right, yeah,
you shouldn't do that.
No, you shouldn't.
It's a female.
Soon, think about it.
It was at that point he clocked the quality street in your bag and took you there.
And he went straight to the cold case line.
That was my big. You've been robbed, but not directly, if that makes sense.
Oh, I've been robbed a few times. So I mean, I've probably again. So we talked about this in other podcasts, but who cares? I got robbed. So my travel bag. So when I was traveling, so I had a rucksack, it was like 20-liter rucksack with loads of stuff in it. That got nicked at a bus stop when I had my back turned. A couple of weeks later, when I got back to the UK, someone broke into my locker at the gym and took my bag, which in it was, I had my passport, had cash and a few other things. My card fell out of my pocket one time at a bar, and, you know, which has probably happened to people in the past. I didn't even notice because I didn't really use it that much at the time.
Stingy.
And I just noticed like things were disappearing from my account, and you know, like 700-800 quid had to go to the fraud.
How rich are you that you only just clock it when it gets to 800?
I was all they did it over, it was like, you know, contactless or online where it doesn't go out of your account straight away, so they must have had a spree during one day, maxed it out, and then it all came out at once a few days later.
No, she said maxed it out there.
Yeah,
having
suspicions.
AFC Subway kids.
Just a trail of sherbet.
It's like Hansel and Gretel, we're just leading the thing.
What about you, Dave? You've been assaulted.
I've been assaulted.
Yeah, it's Dave's time now. Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking about that. I'm not sure. Hang on. Bear with me. I will remember it. It was... Oh, shit. I'm trying to think. I forgot what I was going on about.
Describe what happened to you, Dave.
That was it. I was walking back from England, Colombia. And we'd won, so obviously I was insane, going mental. And there was this guy weeing up the wall. And I was like, oh, we've just won. And I thought he wanted to have a hug, but I didn't realise he was weeing. And he didn't want to have a hug. So he started beating me up, him and his son. Me and him, I fought back.
Sorry.
And
So the guy was weeing against the wall and you were walking past. How did the two of you get into an altercation?
Because I
hugged him. Right. I didn't realise he was weeing. I was just so excited that I was like, yes! Cool. And
then his son got involved.
But to be fair, at the time I was like, what's he doing? Why is he getting involved? But then I thought back, if I saw my dad getting beaten up, getting punched, I don't think I'd I was like, I just want to taste it. It was a strange night. Yeah, he's come over. His dad was loving it. Strange. It was a strange. God, and I got
nice
my wallet stolen.
Moment, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was probably asking for it as well at the same time. But oh well, you live and let learn.
This is it. Live and let learn.
Which I didn't.
Max, have you been a victim of a crime?
I have. So many. I think the main one. No, the only one I can really think of is I've told you about the kids outside Strange Ways.
Strange Ways.
It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was walking past Strange Ways prison, Just been released.
addicted to sherbet.
I'd been to the cinema just to get some great IMAX, and I was walking home, and I walked past Strangeways, and I had my headphones
in. That's tricky,
isn't it? Sorry?
Anyway, carry on.
Okay. Walking past Strangeways, as I've said, and these three kids across the road, and I mean like they're kids, like 10, 12, whatever, and they're shouting at me from across the road. And obviously, I'm thinking, ah, here come the fans. Yep. Bit weird that it's like 1 a.m, but, you know, if they want a picture, sure, who am I to say no? So they come over and they're shouting at me. I take my headphones out and I'm like, yeah, you're right, guys. And one of them's like, give me your wallet. The other one's, give me your phone. The other one's like, give me your money. And I was like,
the three little pigs.
Yeah. I'm going to blow your house down.
And it was like, it seemed like they'd obviously rehearsed that, which is quite funny. But the second thing was, I'm 26. I could have picked them up and just thrown them across the road, you know. I was like, why are they trying to stop me? They're like, I've got a fucking weapon behind my back. I'm gonna stab you if you don't give me all that stuff. Which is very strange. So I was like, fuck off.
Did you give them anything?
I gave them a talking to. I said, if you carry on down this path, that's where you're going. And I pointed right at Strangeways. And they learned their lesson that day. They went, thank you, sir, for teaching us.
Unfortunately, from their angle, not that you're pointing at the red light district.
They went sprinting.
Whether you like it or not.
3 years minimum.
So as I started walking away in the direction of the red light district, they started going, you fucking twat, you fucking twat, and started throwing bricks at me. Which, you know... very strange. Very strange.
Kids these days.
Kids, are you?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, I remember at school, like, the year 11s would pick on the year 7s. Nowadays, it's the year 7s picking, like, the year 11s. And kids these days just don't give a crap.
No respect, Dave.
No. I saw a video today where, like, this police guard crashed. Well, it didn't crash. It pulled up. And these kids set fire to it. And I was like...
It parked.
It's a fire.
He was just getting petrol. Crashing or parking. It's the same thing for me.
It stopped.
It stopped. Yeah. It'll get us there. Yeah. I have an anchor in mine. I've been caught speeding before. Not pulled over, just on the camera, so it's not the same. Oh, but
no,
you know that
was that in your
weird.
First year of driving?
no, second. Oh, actually, no, second. No, second. Luckily, yeah.
Because in your first year, I think if you get caught twice, you lose your license. Like, you get 6 points. Yeah.
Well, I just it was rather you take the 3 points or £100 and you go to a speed awareness course. So
what did you go that. For?
Yeah, speed awareness. Place. Yeah, it was boring as hell, but
should have bumped.
I was thinking about. I've had a couple of other fines. I got ended up paying £400 for having my feet on the seat on a Mersey Rail train. Didn't even have my feet on the seat, so I appealed it. What would have been £50, I ended up being like £400 by the end of it with court costs and everything. That was depressing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that the recent one, or is that?
No. That's an old one. It's since happened again for... this is ridiculous. Dodging a fare on the train, even though I didn't dodge it. I tried to buy a ticket and I actually went to buy a ticket. But because I didn't have a promise to buy slip, which I didn't even know was a thing, they gave me a £20 fine, which I would have paid. Gave them my address because I wasn't, you know, I had all my cards and shit on me. So it was all, you know, couldn't get away with it. But then I had to leave my house for various reasons to do with mould. So I never actually got any letters, completely forgot about it. And then they caught up with me a couple of weeks ago. It's like £700 now.
Awful.
Jesus Christ.
What I don't get is, is this what is it, promise what? To buy or intent to buy?
Yeah, whatever. So you can't afford, so for whatever reason, if you don't have much,
or the machine's not there, or
you have to go on the machine to do it. It's the same machine that you do this. I don't think they really enforce it now because it is a very flawed idea.
Well, because it's someone's job on the train to check tickets and like buy them. And if they're not doing that, what can you do? I remember I went from Salford to Manchester Victoria didn't have a ticket. It's not that far. And then when I went to pay, I was like, I said journey. I went, right, you're going to have to give us your details. I thought I was in trouble because that's what they make out is. They take down all your details because you've dodged a ticket. Yeah. But bloody jobs worth.
I know.
I think I'd actually gone from St. Helens to Manchester.
But you buy a ticket and no one checks you. And you know, when you need to buy one because for whatever reason, no one knows.
You know what? Whilst we're all getting things off our chest, should we have a nice slice of Dave Raves?
Yeah, come on, Dave.
Go on, right. God,
stick it to him.
I'm just going to pull the lines across because the sun is shining.
The sun.
Not literally, you know. There we go.
Cool. Go on, Dave. So, what's on topic
for this week for crime, what really grinds my goat about crime is how much I love it.
Love that phrase.
So, how would you love crime?
The meaning, like, you know, gangsters and that, love gangsters. Yeah. 1920 gangsters, love all of that. I thought, well, the apartheid, that's great. Not the apartheid. Definitely not.
He just said his producer in his ear, Dave, not the apartheid. So, mention that again.
Oh, can't say that.
A little slip now, that's fine.
What is it?
God.
I love how this is Dave Raves. I love the apartheid.
It's the time when America banned alcohol.
Prohibition.
You can see where I went wrong.
No,
it begins with P. That's when. That's right. That was the only reason. But yeah, that. Oh, I think that's all great. Like TV shows about it, history about it. I love it.
Just to be clear,
I'm no longer on about. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, love Boardwalk Empire. Yeah. What a show. But like I say, all of that, like to do with cocaine, like Pablo Escobar. He's a pretty sick lad. Like, I mean, he was ruthless and murdered people, but look past that.
These characters.
Yeah.
If you look at, Peaky Blinders, Tommy Shelby, everyone loves him. He's a bad man.
Exactly.
He's awful.
He's criminal. Yeah.
The kind of people that will kill your entire family over a dispute.
This is it.
Exactly.
These are not people to look up to, Dave.
No.
But people love them. But we do. Love them. Exactly. And why is that?
I love bank robberies. Yeah, when they're getting away. I want them to get away.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, there are certain kind of films like...
Serial killers.
Like Catch Me If You Can, you know. You root for him because he's... Seen that film?
No, sir.
Yeah.
You've seen Catch Me If You Can?
I've seen Chicken, man.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Great
Based on a true story?
It is.
You'll hear more about that in Tom Looney.
And serial killers. Why do people love serial killers?
I don't.
People have this morbid obsession with true crime, don't they? Like, it's a
exactly
bingeable. There's this,
it's because it's like crazy stories, but it's true. It's like the same with gangsters. Yeah. It's like it's something that you can't fathom to be true in your own life.
It breaks the monotony of real life for a lot of people, and that, you know, these things
actually exist. These people, but I find them so fascinating. Not the fact that they kill people, just like how they work their minds.
Yeah, how the mind,
they're weird. That is like the main thing about crime. And obviously, like death, that's quite a bugger about crime. Yeah. A lot of death in crime.
Apartheid.
That is.
I just want to make that clear. But, you know.
That is. I was not on about apartheid. that was wrong.
The way crime's glamorized and you
glamorized,
enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Like that.
You're all caught up in it.
I'm with you, Dave. Yeah,
I'm addicted to drug dealers.
Drug dealers, gangsters. That's what I meant to say.
I've got weed. I've got cocaine. I'm more interested in you.
I've got about five of you in it.
In the future, you're never going to see a film about a bloke selling balloons at Parklife. You know, there's different levels. The high end of it. Of crime is interesting, the low end. It's awful.
Yeah, you get the scumbags.
Chocolate bar thieves, you know.
What makes you a good criminal? Like, what do you have to pull
caught,
off
I guess.
To be... True. Do they say like the most famous criminals are the ones you don't know about?
Yeah, well, we do know Dominic Cummings.
Touche.
Have you ever seen Mindhunter?
No.
Yes.
No? Yeah. Very what good. Do you think, Max?
Very good. Very good fun.
Yeah, so at one of the so it's where the FBI agents are interviewing like serial killers, and it's all they're all real people, kind of yeah. based on real people. And like when they're interviewing Ed Kemper, the co-ed killer.
Yeah.
Like he's like really smart guy, and he got away with it for years. And basically saying the only reason he got caught is because he allowed himself to get caught. And that 100%, there's the smartest ones will only you'll only catch them if they want to.
If they want to be caught.
Yeah.
No, they want to be caught.
I don't know. Some people just they want to be known for their crimes. They want the notoriety. So
fine.
Fair enough. Tell you what, a great show about crime is Line of Duty.
Dave,
if you've not seen that, that shows the police side and
officers.
That's good. That's one of the best series you can watch.
Was that filmed? A bit of that filmed at Salford Uni?
Sure.
Yeah, there's a load of fucking crimes going on there.
I've never seen it now, but I'll give it a watch.
Okay. And Stephen Graham's in it, who's in Boardwalk Empire. Well, he's in it in the fifth series.
What a man.
So, speaking of crimes and, you know, robbing 5 minutes of our life, let's move on to IMAX. Max,
what's been
cooking up in your pot this week?
You know what? The government has yet again failed to issue a response to the letters, the emails, the petitions that I've sent their way, demanding that my local cinema be open. Screw the coronavirus.
How many signatures did you get on your petition?
Great question. I got two. I did ask Tom to put out a email blast to everyone that's emailed to the Max.
I didn't do that. Yeah.
I feel like he either forgot to or decided not to. so I've decided this week just to get a new job. Because I'm just done with it. I just went to my local McDonald's in Tinseltown and demanded a job for the week.
Fantastic!
Yeah, I've got some audio that we recorded from it. Because obviously they're constantly recording the headsets, but you know,
is this from the drive-through? They're all open now.
Yeah. We actually allowed certain customers in.
Oh, okay.
Certain customers.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the privileged, I guess, in Tinseltown.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. My soul is in tatters. IMAX has been branded as dull and boring. My life's work as a film reviewer is over. The only job I'll get in Tinseltown is working in this Mackie D's. Oh, here comes a customer now. It looks like Oscar-nominated star of stage and screen, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yo, how you doing, man?
As a former film reviewer, I am both shocked and amazed to see you here. How can I help you today?
McDonald's. I hear they got some tasty fucking fried chicken.
I think you're talking about the Colonel's house, Mr. L. Jackson. Would you like to order something else?
Royale with cheese.
Ah, now you're talking about Burger King in France.
Shit!
Let me help you out. What do you like to eat?
Motherfucker, I eat everything. I eat the pussy, I eat the butt, I eat every motherfucking thing.
Well, I don't think we sell that here at McDonald's.
The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
We don't sell butts here, sir.
You know me. It's my duty to please that booty. That meant your ass.
I'm sorry, sir, but this booty is off the menu.
Hey, you shut your face!
You want a scrap, lad?
Try it. Try it!
Don't shoot me, Mr. L. Jackson.
I have had it with these motherfucking McDonald's on this motherfucking city street in broad daylight.
Please, sir, calm yourself.
And hit the spot.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. This lady here looks hurt, though. What's your name?
Hey, I'm Whoopi Goldberg.
Sorry about that.
Fret not, Mr. L. Jackson. Anyway, shall we end this IMAX with a joke?
Why not? You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in France?
No, I don't.
It's fucking fried chicken.
So, Sam, what do you think of IMAX this week?
Just hang in there, baby. You're doing great. I'm proud of you.
I'm loving it.
Very good.
Wow. It's great that, you know, you could get that little snippet from work.
It's, it
sounds
yeah.
like it was a stressful week.
Yeah. Oh, it's been awful. You know, I've decided to leave working at McDonald's and go back to doing what I love best, what people know me best for, which is providing great insight into some hot new films.
So, next that's week, what we can expect next week, yeah?
Next week, you're going to get some great reviews, maybe audio-based, from me.
Thank you.
It's just going to be amazing.
Shit.
It was.
You can't be saying this.
No, I'm saying shit. That sounds great.
Not after Tom Mooney.
No. I'm saying I'm looking forward to it.
No. That's every week you go at him over IMAX.
No.
Every week. You've upset him. I guarantee he's gone off out of his room to cry now. Guarantee he's done that.
It wouldn't surprise me. Poor Max. I feel sorry for him.
He did a great job. He's working two jobs
now.
No,
I respect it.
And you sit there, read off five facts you've copied and pasted onto Microsoft Word.
I have to research all of these. The internet is a minefield. Most of the things I find aren't true.
Sorry about this. Now, Dave picked something that really, you know, grinds his gears, and you just sit there at 1:40 on a Wednesday and go, oh, what's that copy and paste into this? And Max is distraught. That, you know, Max is his life and soul.
Hello?
Oh, Max. Oh,
no.
Ring, ring. Hello?
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 Are you back in the room?
Oh, who's Max? I don't know who Max is. I'm just...
Who are we speaking to?
Hello, I'm Mr. T. Mr. Gil T. Hello?
Hello. Hi, Gil. What are you doing on the podcast?
Oh, I must have called the wrong number, man. I'm trying to get a hold of Stephen Tries Lawyers Incorporated.
I'm Stephen Tries, if that's what you're looking for.
Stephen Tries, are you a lawyer? Are you a lawyer, perchance?
No, but I've watched yeah, a few shows that talk about the law. I've watched Legally Blonde, if that helps.
Oh, right. Very nice. I've heard of that because I'm a really big fan of IMAX, which is a great segment on a great podcast.
Who's IMAX?
I've never heard of it.
Gil, what can I help you with?
Well, I'm currently in Strange Ways prison, and I've been arrested for breaking quarantine, apparently. But I didn't do nothing wrong. I just need some advice.
What were you doing?
Well, nothing. I was walking down the street. I was coughing on a few people. And...
Gil, why did you get arrested? Just for, you know, being bad?
No,
being a nuisance?
They came up to me, these coppers, right? These fucking randy dandies. And they go, hello, mate. Are you walking on in the street in quarantine? And I say, yes, sir, I am. I've got no home to live in. I've just been kicked
homeless?
Out of prison. Yes. Yes.
So you've just come out of prison and then you were on the streets and you got put back in.
I left Strange Ways, right? I go past these three kids that are screaming at me, begging for me, watching me phone. And I say, fuck off, and I cough on them. Because apparently that's what you do nowadays to make them sick. And I walked away. And these police, these coppers, man, they stop me and they say, where are you going?
I've heard this. Gil, why were you in prison? Why were you in jail in the first place?
Well, I used to be a lawyer, man. I used to be a little work experience boy for a law firm in LA.
In LA?
In Los Angeles.
How did you get that gig?
Well, just working hard at school and stuff. And my dad was a friend of a friend who worked at this law firm, and he got me a job there.
Oh, so you're in a law firm in LA?
Yes, bruv. And
how did that land you in jail?
Well, so, you know...
Could it
you
have
know,
been fraud?
No. You know O.J. Simpson, yeah?
Not personally.
Well, he's a famous man. He's done a lot of good things. And he was in court for being a bad boy, yeah. And the judge says, "Are you guilty or not guilty?" And I said, "I'm bloody guilty. Don't let O.J. Simpson take that away from me. That's my bloody name. That's my bloody birthright. I've been guilty since the day I was born, man." And they say, "Oh, chuck him away in Strange Ways prison."
Just gone where O.J. was set to go.
And I'm not complaining because I've had three hots and a cot for the last 20-something years. But to be back in prison, man, no.
So you were jailed for two life sentences, all on a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what the misunderstanding is. I am bloody guilty, and I'll
yeah,
do
but
it again.
Word, obviously, you understand the word guilty does imply that you've done something wrong. Not what? Your name, guilty.
Obviously, you spent some time at a law firm. I'm sure you know this.
No, man.
One of the biggest law firms in the country.
Are you kidding me, man? Guilty is something else apart from my bloody name.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Ah! What does it mean, man?
To be guilty is to, you know, to be blamed for doing something wrong.
Oh, that makes so much bloody sense now. Because
you just
remember
one of the other lawyers you were working with at the time would have mentioned this to you.
Or maybe no, someone said, "No, Gil, put your hand down." It doesn't concern me.
My name's not Gil, though. It's Guilty. It reminds me of when I was a young nipper and I was in these allotments, right? And I was growing me onions. And these fucking wee nippers came in and stole me onions. So I leave through this hole in the fence as I used to do. And the police stopped these kids. And they ran off. I saw one of them had one of me fucking onions, man.
Oh, no way.
I ran up to the police and I said, "I'm fucking guilty, man." And they took me away for that. They're stealing me own fucking onions.
Gil, you don't sound like an educated man. You sound like what we call in the lawyer industry, a fucking din. It's probably best that you're off the streets. Yeah. The fact that you've used your one phone call to try and get into, you know, the Stephen Tries podcast to call an imaginary law firm here is bizarre.
Yeah. Ridiculous. I don't know how you were released from your double life sentence in the first place.
Good behaviour, man.
It's been a few years, to be fair.
It sounds like you're back where you belong.
No, man, I've done nothing wrong. I'm just a good boy from the streets. I wanted to make a difference by being a lawyer, man.
Why didn't you defend yourself in court, then?
Oh, I didn't pass the bar. I was... Apparently, you lose your license once you've killed two people.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, apart from, you know, this segment, have you killed anything else?
Probably myself after this segment, man.
Like you're guilty there.
Yeah. All the best.
What a misunderstanding that was.
Oh, good.
Very clever.
Should we solve some problems of the world?
Yeah, sure.
Matt Smith.
Hey, guys. Colin here. So a while back on a night out, me and my friend ended up going back to some stupid accommodation with some girls.
God, how old is he?
I kind of got us invited back. And I was with this American girl, and I was getting really filled with it. I was sitting on the couch with her.
Nice.
Go and have a piss.
That's flirty.
I came back to find her and my friend cuddled up together, so I just left. Later found out they slept together. I've never actually properly kept up with my friend on the matter, and I've been passive aggressive about it for months about it. What do you guys think I should do?
Get over it.
Dave, this is for Max.
Oh, yeah.
I've got the opposite. Fucking go at him, you know. I feel like, you know, keeping it all pent up, you know, you seem like the sort of person that can't get over it. So just say to him, "Hey, mate, I was doing this really cool thing where I went for a pee, which, you know, sort of demonstrated to this woman that, you know, it all works down there, maybe.
It works, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we've been out on the lash, of course I'm going to go for a wee." And you took that as a invitation to go and, you know, start smooching or whatever else happened.
It's a tricky one, isn't it?
I'd say talk it out.
Well, no, it is possible that your friend's been a bit of a dick and he should have known that you were getting on with this girl and he should have left it. However, I guess you just got to ask yourself, you know, how obvious was it that I was, you know, laying down some sick moves?
Or do you need this friend in your life? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah? Do you need this girl in your life?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If it was serious, then fair enough, but can't tax a girl. So...
Yeah. No,
but,
yeah.
Hey, if you lose, no, you lose. Course. You snooze, you lose. That's how I'd look at it.
I guess I'm looking at this more like a bro code sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, true.
But, you know, like the woman in the story is, like, she's done nothing wrong. It's the friends that...
Yeah, she's the real villain.
Exactly.
Women are all the same. No, just talk it out with your mate. It's, there's no point in keeping this bottled away. You know, if you are friends, and this has been going on for a while, it's only going to get worse. We need to talk about it.
Plus, if he watches this podcast, that whole scenario is so specific. There. He would know.
I'm going to spill the beans about your going for a piss move. So. American girl, sofa, pee, yeah. So.
Okay, should we move on?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah,
have that help, mate. Hello, my name is Zach. One might say I have an obsession with porn. Hi, Zach. I don't have any barriers to getting the real thing, but I am addicted to topping up the tank. I would like to ask for your best advice, and hopefully during quarantine I can stay safe, stay humble. And this is
nice.
Zach from Cheshire.
Nice one, Zach.
Oh, God. I think quarantine's probably the hardest time to get off anything, because you've just got so much spare time on your hand. Quite literally. There's going to be a put to the max next week. I am fuming. I'm the funny one. So, what's the question? Trying to get off porn.
Guy's addicted. He doesn't even need it at this point, but he can't help but going back. You know, habit of a lifetime.
I think therapy is probably the best way to go, or get something in your life that is. What's it like? Say like the gym. Go to the gym. You know, that's just as addictive, but it's a good thing. You know,
porn's probably not your stories of porn are, you know, famous around the world.
Yeah.
VR headsets to flashlights. What stopped you?
Just meeting a lady.
There you go. Living in the real world. Yeah.
So if you can't, so you have proper kicked the habit now.
Yeah. It's not really, you know.
It's more of a treat now, isn't it?
probably best not to go down this route, because she knows what she is.
His fleshlight's just a dusty antique on the windowsill.
And that was when I bought it. I'll have that one, please. It's 15th century.
Older.
One previous owner. It's tough to kick, though, especially now, because it's fucking everywhere. Like, you can't escape from the stuff. So,
yeah, or ask your parents. I imagine he lives at home. Ask his parents to put a lock on.
Yeah,
no, parental lock.
That'll stop him. Now I'd like to finish on a bigger question, which, you know, I rarely do. But if we were locked up, for a considerable amount of time, what would you miss the most about the free world? I'm going to go to Dave.
Probably bacon, like my own sort of bacon. Like,
your own sort of bacon.
I know.
Just to clarify, not bacon, my bacon.
Dave's bacon.
I know how I like my bacon. These chefs
uncooked, right?
Raw in the middle. that was just on the top of my head. I don't know.
I panicked. I just had to check if Dave didn't have bacon on his head.
I don't know. Probably family. No, TV or family.
TV. You have TV in prison.
Oh, right. Even better. I'd say family then. Family.
Yeah. Tell me more about this prison.
Free meals.
What about you, Tom?
I get really bored really easily. So I just think the hardest thing would be, you know, the fact that I can mix things up. Just being able to mix up my routine. Like, I think, I don't know how long I'd last just doing the same thing every day, having the same kind of outdoor time, watching the same stuff, same meals, same people, same four walls. I think I'd go insane.
Would you get buff?
Not that I do. I do loads of cool shit, but just... knowing that I can
do what you want,
Stephen.
What would I miss? Probably being able to sleep at night.
Yeah,
you know,
that'd be my thing. Being bummed. Having a nice shower—that'd be a nice one. That'd probably be what I'd miss.
Don't drop your bacon in the shower.
No one else touch it. This is my bacon.
Just picture Dave in a canteen going on about the apartheid.
What are you in for? Apartheid?
Right.
Yeah, but I'll probably miss. Better feeling safe. That's my one.
Smith?
Do you know what? The first thing I'd miss is probably bringing IMAX to the masses. Just giving every, just giving everyone up fresh.
Imagine, did they get movie night in prison once a week for the good ones? Just stood at the side of the projector trying to explain the film before they start.
But I'll tell you, that's one thing, that's one positive, isn't it? That, you know, if you were in prison, you know, you'd be safe from IMAX. You'd like to think.
I don't know. Word would get out each week about what exactly. Film they discussed.
That's the nightmare, isn't it? That IMAX infiltrates the prison.
what you don't know is that the biggest market for IMAX are people currently incarcerated in prison. They can't get enough of the stuff.
You ever seen Clockwork Orange, where they flip the eyes out? That's what they got to do watching Mac.
IMAX is currency in prison.
Hey, have you got Max's have you got Max's
I've got 2 minutes for McDonald's this week. is Whoopi Goldberg making an appearance? You know it.
Take all the cigarettes you want.
You fucking gave me a bottle of vodka for some shit about Tom and Jerry last week.
Have you got any contraband?
Well, on that note, we should end it there. Thank you very much for watching. I've been joined by Tom Cooney.
Hey!
David Rees.
Thank you.
Max Smith.
Hey.
Hey.
Our producer Jen McGrath.
Hey.
There's a SWAT team getting him now. and myself, Stephen. Stay safe. Stop it, guys.
Okay.
Stay safe and just live your life.
Yep.
Hey. Bye.
See you later.
Bye.